Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd. Welcome. We get a lot of email here at Issues Etc. And we try to respond to as much of it as we can, mostly on the air because of the volume and because, really, some of the questions and the comments and the suggestions that we get are great. Our listeners contribute very well to the conversation here. And one of the ways you can do that is through our email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. So on this Monday afternoon, February the 4th, we thought we'd go through some of the listener email for about the next hour of the program.
But first, what did you think of the Super Bowl?
I thought it was an interesting Super Bowl. I didn't watch all of it all the way through. I was, to be quite honest, since neither of the teams were my team, I didn't have that great of interest in it. Watched a lot of the commercials. The power outage, I think, did make a difference. I think the power outage, it didn't make a difference at the end score, but it certainly made a difference for the 49ers there for a little bit. So,
favorite commercial?
It's a toss-up. The one that probably struck me the most was the Clydesdale one. You know, the little baby Clydesdale grows up, and you know, they end up hugging at the end. So, you know. But I can't say I watched all of them. I still have to watch some of them. I taped the whole thing so I could spin through it and watch commercials.
The Paul Harvey farming one was awesome.
But, you know, it was like you guys pointed out a little bit earlier when we were talking, it was a long commercial.
2 minutes.
Yeah, two minutes. It was great stuff. Great stuff.
Just great to hear Paul Harvey's voice again. Yeah. How long is he?
Oh, he died, what? I want to say it's been probably 10 years.
Yeah.
Maybe. Did his son continue that show for a little while?
Or you
don't hear it like you used to hear it. They could probably just run reruns of Paul Harvey, and people wouldn't care. Don't you think?
Yes,
I don't think they'd mind. I don't think anybody would mind.
I think many of those commentaries were timeless.
Yeah. That guy had timing, and you kind of heard it in that commercial last night, where he had this kind of machine gun, and then he could slow down, and then he would stop, and then he'd say nothing. That guy had verbal timing like no one else. Like no one else. And you don't hear it a lot in radio anymore.
A true talent. I started cheering for the Baltimore Ravens. And then in my oldest son, JJ Justin, he got mad at me because I started cheering for the 49ers. Like, Dad, you were cheering for the Ravens.
Did you switch sides?
I switched sides just because I wanted to see a close game. And then the power outage.
Yeah. So do you think that the power outage, and it came right after the kick return at the beginning of the second half, do you think it really made that kind of difference for the 49ers? Craig just said, you know, the 49ers, they're a second half team.
Yeah, that probably had more to do with it. But, you know, sports is a game of momentum. And it's I can tell you, being a huge basketball fan, I mean, there's teams going runs, 6-0, 12-0, 12-2. You got to keep those runs in a minimum, or else game gets away from you. So I was glad. Did you go anywhere to watch it, Craig?
No, Craig.
Sounded like Craig had the entourage.
Yeah, Craig had his entourage over, and apparently this is his way of collecting food for the next month. And nobody gets to leave the Feitinger house with the food they brought with them. So that's a whole another subject.
There's a conversation we had here.
Oh, my goodness.
Craig is up to thought. Craig, can I divulge this to our, you know, millions of listeners? Okay, maybe two. Well, there's got to be more than three because there's three of us listening right now. Craig was kind of disappointed, putting the best construction on it, that people, after he hosted his friends
yeah,
at their house, they were encouraged to take their food back home with them.
Yeah. Right. Like the rest of the world does.
He thinks that
you bring it in a plate, something's left over, you take it home from whence it came.
He thinks that's not proper protocol.
Leave the plate. Don't touch that. Just leave that plate.
I said, Craig, what about, people don't want to leave their dishes. He's like, oh, no. So you clean it out. You clean it all out, and then you give their dish back. Curiously, Craig, do you clean their dish out when you give it back, or do you give it back empty, dirty?
First of all, when you take something to someone's house, you take it for them. You give it to them. It's theirs. You're there. Hey,
this
here
is
you
community
go.
Food.
This is for you.
This is community food.
We appreciate you having us over. We appreciate you know, your electricity, your TV, your this. We're going to flush your toilet. We appreciate your water.
You charge your guests rent.
So hey, they bring something over. Here you go. This is for you. We're not going to take it home. What my mom always did when we went somewhere with a cake or with this or that? She put it on a piece of cardboard covered in foil. So when she took it, it looked nice, but when you left, that wasn't your dish. It stayed there with them. So, you prepare for these things. Going in, you're not leaving with that Mexican dip. You're not leaving with the salsa. You're not leaving with the bag of Doritos.
But we did.
It's staying behind.
We did determine that if one of Craig's guests had just left the food on the porch, they might not be obligated to leave it behind.
No,
but we still haven't figured out how far in the house you got to carry the food before you're obligated to leave the dish and the food.
Proper protocol says that when you take something, half of a bag of eaten chips, you don't go, those are mine, I'm going to take it home. Or a loaf of bread that you bring for dinner. Oh, that's going home with me. No, you prepare for these things. When you leave, it stays there. Hey, we appreciate you.
Except for beer,
hosting
right? Except for beer.
Yeah, alcohol's a little different. But, a bottle of wine, though. When you bring that for dinner, somebody, has a nice chicken dish or a steak or whatever. That's, you open that up at the dinner table. They don't take that. They leave it. First of all, you can't drive with open alcohol in the car anyway. So, that's against the law. But you just don't do that. I think I'm right on this.
Let's just put it to our listeners, and then we'll get back from when you take something, when you bring something, a dish, casserole in a dish, something like that, to someone's house for, say, a Super Bowl party, say, in Troy, Illinois this year, and you bring it, and let's say half the casserole gets eaten, the other half is still sitting there. Do you wrap it up and take it home with you when you brought it from?
We'll get email.
Are
we'll
you obligated?
No email once
are
you,
you
open this
obligated to leave it behind for the host to eat? And then maybe, just maybe, if you're lucky, you might get your dish back. You might, but maybe the dish is also along. I don't know. Is the dish included with the food? Who knows? So if you want to talk back at issuesetc.org and we could determine, Craig thinks he's right. He thinks he's got proper protocol here. Jeff and I were just listening to this, both of us, just kind of with our minds blown a little bit to hear the earlier, that was just a taste of it, folks. That was just a taste of it. The earlier, what is it, his treatise on
no,
leave
we call
the
it
dish.
Craig's Costanza moments. It was a truly Craig Costanza moment. He's just in a bad mood because 40-year-old Feichtinger had to go to Ma Feichtinger's house to get his lunch today because there wasn't enough leftovers from his Super Bowl party.
That's right. His guests took it all with them.
Think about it, folks. Think about it. Yes, I'm glad you brought up the beer thing because I love bringing up inconsistencies. I said, so when your buddies come over and watch a hockey game and bring a 12-pack and they got 8 beers left, are they
leave
obligated to leave the beer? Oh, no. It doesn't apply to beer. The rules don't apply to beer. But people can call, too, with their thoughts on that.
Okay,
877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. When you go to somebody's house and you bring a dish or an appetizer or liqueur, are you obligated
an aperitif
to leave what you brought at the host site?
Right.
That's the question on the table. Pardon the pun.
877-623-6943. And now, do we have any time? Yeah, we have time to get to some email here.
Okay, this comes from Tammy. This has to, in regards to an interview you did with Sarin Foster on feminism and abortion. Sarin Foster of Feminists for Life. Tammy says, I listened to your segment on feminists and pro-life. I was wondering how a church who does not allow women to be pastors can support a feminist group. It seemed to me as a conflict of interest.
Well, first of all, we're not a church. We're just a radio program. And second of all, We are seeking allies in the protection of the unborn wherever we can find them. We do not endorse. I don't know everything that Feminists for Life have to say, but on the issue of life, we can stand with them. On that issue of life, we can stand with Feminists for Life. Although, if you look at what Feminists for Life says about being feminists, you will find that it is most definitely not the kind of sexual revolution feminism that has caused so much havoc in society. I'm not saying you'll find everything there that you agree with, but on the issue of it's why we have Democrats for Life. It's why we do all different life groups on that subject. We look for allies everywhere we can to protect the unborn. And as I said, it represents no official endorsement by any church body, because we're not a church body or a church. We're just a radio program with a guest. And I think that to highlight for our listeners that there are groups that promote the protection of the unborn that fly under all different kinds of banners is very, very helpful. It's not necessarily all Christian groups. It's not necessarily all conservative groups. There are all sorts of pro-life groups, and we like to be able to expose our listeners to that much. Andy's calling from Kirkwood. Hi, Andy.
Well, I'm calling in support of Craig with the Super Bowl food. Doesn't the Bible say, leave your gift and be reconciled with your brother?
I was going to ask Andy if he's married, because I think that has something to do with this here. Craig's only been married since September, and there's still a lot of bachelor stuck in there. So we'll see. We'll see. Now, back to the subject of Feminists for Life. We do not in any way intend to endorse feminism in general. The best way to kind of understand this is to just go listen to the interview that we have with Sarah Foster of Feminists for Life. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You'll find her there in the interview. We've talked to her many times. We'll be right back. 5 minutes. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. TheCLCC.org.
Wait! Oh, yes! Wait a minute, Mr. Postman! Wait! Wait! Hey, 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 Mr. Postman! Mr. Postman!
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email on this Monday afternoon, February the 4th. I do want to pick up on something before the break. We had someone asking why we would interview someone from Feminists for Life. Is that an endorsement of feminism, especially for a, as they put it, a church body that does not support the ordination of women? And I need to say something about that as well. But Jeff, I gotta say this. I don't know if I told you, but I told Craig earlier today that there's something wrong with our charter at home. You know, and so I've been getting calls from Charter, those automated calls saying we're coming to your house today. So if I have asked you to kill my mic, they're calling to see if anyone's home. Someone is home, but they got my phone number. And you know what it's like. They tell you they're coming between this certain time, and then you basically are a slave to your phone until they arrive, because you never know when they're going to show up. So just a little warning there, Jeffy, since we're doing email. First of all, as I said before, we're not – this isn't a church body. This isn't a church. It's a radio program, and we're looking for guests who can contribute to the pro-life conversation and that subject from all over the place. All right. The question of whether or not the church body of which I am a member and where I serve as a pastor, the Luther Church Missouri Synod, does not ordain women as pastors. And so why would you be talking to a feminist group? I don't know what Feminists for Life, I don't think they have a position on women pastors. I don't think they do. So I don't see that as a relevant question. I doubt they have any kind of, and if they do as individuals, it really doesn't make any difference, because what we're talking about is not women serving as pastors. We're talking about protecting the unborn, two different subjects. And we can talk about one of them and leave the other one for a different conversation with a different guest. For me, it comes down to kind of a basic understanding of the difference between the two kingdoms. What are we trying to do when we talk to Feminists for Life? We're not making a theological statement. We're trying to talk as citizens in the public square. Very often, trying to use the best kind of legal, social, reasoned arguments from prudence and from the greater good, all those kinds of things, to protect the unborn. Now, if we want to talk to someone theologically about protecting the unborn, the pro-life issue from a theological perspective, we are generally going to go in one of two directions. We're going to go to a Lutheran guest, or we often will go, if we use the term theologically kind of loosely there, we might be talking to a Roman Catholic guest who can talk from a standpoint of moral theology, that is kind of the general theological principles as to why the unborn need protection. But if you listen to the guests that we do talk to on the issue of life, we know which guests we can talk to about what aspect. If we want to talk about the legal perspective, we get someone who has some legal knowledge, someone who actually understands the law there. If we want to talk about it from a theological perspective, we're going to get someone with theological expertise. And I think it's good to know that there are feminists out there, or women who consider themselves to be feminists, who want to protect the unborn. To me, that's good news.
This comes from C, just C. This is C, period, is the first name. He says, I do not wish to support you any longer. I will unsubscribe and stick with Herman Otten of Christian News and a few others, the true voices left in traditional Lutheran circles. As the child of a Lutheran pastor from back in the 50s and having lived through Seminex, I can say that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is surely not what it once was. The glorification of Dietrich Bonhoeffer as a Christian when he was never mentioned in my father's seminary years. He is said to have denied the resurrection of Christ and the virgin birth. Guess now it all plays into the 6 million Jews killed in Germany when there were not nearly that many living there at the time. Also, how many churches/pastors viewed the DVD, the new DVD, on C.F.W. Walther, the first president of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, sent free to all of them? I wonder. But I realize one must not question the powers that be for fear of being called a nutcase. All I can say is sola scriptura. Thanks for the feedback. C, period.
Do you have any idea, Jeff, what may have occasioned that particular missive?
Not a clue.
All right. I mean,
it's cyclical, I think.
Yeah. It might have, there's a lot to deal with there. It might have been something we said recently or maybe in the past about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And look, we have been very careful when we talk about Bonhoeffer to make it quite clear that when it comes to the man's theology, you must be extremely careful But what we generally do with Bonhoeffer is deal with him from a historical perspective and say, you know, who was this guy who, although his theology is classically, just classically 19th century, even though it's a 20th century figure, 19th century liberalism. There's no two ways about it. What made this guy tick historically that he, among so few, would stand up to the Nazi aggression? And then there are very interesting and thorny moral questions surrounding Bonhoeffer about resistance of government and his part, whatever it may have been, in an assassination plot against Adolf Hitler. That's where the interest lies. Because we talk about him occasionally, not as much as we used to. He kind of had his vogue there in about a decade ago. Because we talk about him doesn't in any shape, matter, or form mean that we endorse his theology. As to what was the other subject that was raised there, the scope of the Holocaust? I don't even know what to do with that. I mean, I think people have explored the historicity of those claims. They have looked at the records. I'm no expert in the Holocaust, but I don't think we've ever on the air questioned the kind of the basic claim of how many Jews and other ethnic minorities were killed or disappeared during the Nazi Holocaust, much less the ones during the pogroms of the former and former Soviet Union. So,
and I encourage C. Period to listen to a great 2-hour interview we did on a biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer with Dr. Ken Sherb. And you could just go to issuesetc.org, click listen on demand, the Google search engine to the right, type in Bonhoeffer, and you can listen to those 2 hours.
Yeah, I think that's probably some of the best stuff we've done with actually a very good historian and a critical eye towards Bonhoeffer's theology.
Rachel writes, if you're the guest, you should plan to leave the food you brought. However, if you're the host, you should be gracious and pull out the foil and offer all your guests an opportunity to take some of their favorites home.
Ooh, now that's a twist. Okay, so she says you ought to plan to leave it, but if you're the host, Craig, you ought to offer everyone a little bit of everything, which defeats the purpose that Craig invites people over for.
That's right. This host plans on keeping it.
Yes. Okay. All right.
He was boasting about, I got chips for the whole year, you know, from Super Bowl parties, and wow. Wow.
Little do his friends know that this is just very elaborate.
Got to check the dates to see which ones I have to eat first. See which one's going to, got to get to this salsa before we get to that one, and the Tostito scoops before you get to the little small mini ones.
Do you have a wall calendar?
You got to mark it down. Okay. You got to mark it down.
All right. Man.
Did he mention?
My admiration for Tori is growing by leaps and bounds.
Did he mention on each and every individual invite for the Super Bowl party?
Must bring a dish?
No, there was a specific dish and directions on how to make that dish. That's why he's so frustrated. The people made what he wanted them to make, and he's got nothing. He had to go to Ma Feitinger's to get lunch today. He's 40 years old. He had to go to Ma Feitinger's to get his lunch today because these Super Bowl hang-oners don't, you know.
His big plan for the Super Bowl didn't pan out this
exactly,
year.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm not even going to ask, but I have a strong suspicion that Tori knows the protocol, and what Tori did was offer everyone their food back.
She offered them a little bit of everything, didn't she? She kind of...
Tori followed the right protocol.
Yeah, she offered, you brought this. Do you want to take it home?
There you go.
Or she said, look, we took a little. Now, you know, do you want to take, we've got a little in the fridge because we can't eat all this stuff. You know, do you want to take what you brought home? And there were some people that said no. I love those people. There were...
We already know that Craig is the master of the leftover. I have seen Craig stretch leftovers, I would say 10 days sometimes.
I don't know about that, but...
A week at least. If he doesn't get leftovers a week, he considers himself a failure.
The way it works now, though, that I'm married, leftovers don't last as long. Maybe it's because there's... I don't know if we make smaller amounts of food, or I don't know what it is, but the leftovers don't last as long. So,
well, oh gosh, anybody else want to chime in on Craig's particular way of collecting food during early February for the spring? He's like a squirrel burying his nuts for the spring. Or the winter. I don't know when they buried their nuts, but he's a squirrel or some sort of possum-like creature. 877-623-6943.
Boy, he's the type of guy, you know, when things get tough, you know, and food's scarce and, you know.
Yep.
I guess I won't bring in the Seven Shores family members over to Craig's house in Troy.
When the zombie apocalypse hits, Craig's going to have scoops and salsa for everybody.
Craig's going to say, when I come to his house and the zombie apocalypse, like, he knows it's me. Get off my lawn. Get off my lawn.
What is it, the grasshopper and the ant? What's that old wives' tale, the Aesop's fable that they tell of the grasshopper and the slug or something like that? One of them is fastidious. One of them is putting stuff away. The other one lives a devil-may-care existence every day, not worrying about tomorrow. Craig is whichever one of those it is. Craig is that particular insect. Oh, and you know the thing is, Jeff, the thing that strikes me about him so much, I'm looking at him across the glass, he's unflappable. He knows that it doesn't matter how many people call and say, send the food back with your guests. Doesn't make any difference.
No,
he's unflappable.
There's majority rules, common sense rules, and there's option number C, Collinsville rules, or Craig's rules.
And folks, you can see why Jeff often refers to him as Lord Feitinger. It's an apt, it's a term of affection, but it's pretty descriptive. We'll be right back.
Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
Confessional Lutherans. We've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit, or call 218-724-2500.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Here in the second hour of the program on this Monday afternoon, February the 4th, we continue listener email responding to your questions, comments, show suggestions, general conversation, the question still hanging out there raised by our intrepid director of business operations after Super Bowl party, Feitinger 2013. If you bring a plate of food to someone's house for a Super Bowl party and it's not all finished, you know, casserole, dish, something like that, do you take it home with you or are you obligated to leave it with the host? Craig says the latter. And then a little bit later, we'll talk about Jacob the Patriarch. He's remembered by the church tomorrow. Dr. Joel Heck of Concordia University, Texas, will be our guest. Let's go to Jan, who's listening in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Pastor. I'm with Craig. One brings food to share, but I have to say I believe his motive is wrong. And, you know, I'm thinking about a couple of things. The prepare stuff with your own hands, and so you won't alienate anybody and not be dependent on anybody. Hmm. And I was also thinking about, you know, when you bring stuff to share, you're bringing it because you're sharing what you have with someone who hasn't, who doesn't have, right? But ultimately, I think about that passage in Romans, is that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy. And that's where the motive comes in.
Aha.
Yeah.
All right, Jan, thank you very much. Thanks for listening down there in Georgia. I appreciate the thoughts. I can't read Craig's motives, although I think I have a pretty good idea. I mean, he was clear about it earlier today that this is about stocking the Feichtinger pantry on the cheap, so to speak. But she did mention something there about being dependent on others. So I don't know. Now, I noticed that Jan said that you bring the plate, the food to the Super Bowl party to share it. But that's not what I heard Craig say. Craig said they bring the Super Bowl, the food to the Super Bowl party to give to him, to personally pass on. This isn't about sharing.
Well, I think
it's about giving it to him.
They can have their one serving, but if they go above the one serving, they've gone over the line.
Okay. So it's not really about, it's not community food. I mean, I guess I always understood it as kind of like the potluck, you know? That's a good question. Does the church get to keep the food left over from the potluck, Craig? When the Feichtingers go to a potluck, you know, when you bring your big casserole dish full of macaroni, whatever, do you take it home with you or do you leave it for the church, the church people?
I don't
the
think
ladies?
He's ever, he's pondering the question. It appears to me by his body language, he's never brought anything to a church potluck before.
He just shows up.
He just eats. I'll bet more than one serving. Hey, the email's coming in on this. Ray, or let's see. This is Tammy. She says, when I go to a friend's house with food, especially sweets, I prefer to leave them there because I don't want to eat them.
That's me, too. I'm not a big sweet eater, so there's a little self-control there. Okay, she wants to leave it behind, but for a different reason.
Okay. And this is very good. G. Dunk, Gary Duncan,
mm-hmm.
Our good friend at KFUO in St. Louis. He says, Craig is the only one I know who would invite you to go with him to lunch and then suggest what you should order because he has a buy one, get one free coupon. Don't think he'll pay for half. You pay. It's free. This happened with Craig for real, he says. He had lunch with him. I just did that to you today, Wilkin.
That's true.
That's why I read it.
He gave me Jeff gave me a buy one, get one free coupon so that he could get the free... You can get the free shake. Wilkin paid for it. That's all right. I don't mind that.
I can't believe you fell for it.
You pulled a Feichtinger on me is what you did.
You pulled a Feichtinger.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Gary would know. Gary's had probably numerous lunches with Craig and probably have paid for most of them. So,
don't we all? This comes from Paul. He says, hello. We've been listening to Issues and have a question for you. Maybe you have a message on here you can refer us to for the answer. We were wondering if God has his elect and he says he loses none, then what if a baby has been baptized and brought up in the church, catechized, confirmed, and then later on in life they leave and go totally away from him, never to return? Then what? Do you believe one can fall from grace? If so, please give scripture to explain. Thank you for your time. We look forward to your reply.
That's a good question. First of all, we can't answer the second question about the baby who's brought up in the faith and baptized, and we can't answer the question, then what? We don't know the answer to that question. We can say that someone who dies apart from faith in Christ perishes eternally. That's what we can say. But we do not, we cannot parse election in such a way that it turns out to be bad news, because Scripture doesn't ever present election as bad news. Election is always presented as comfort to Christians. That there's, and the certainty of their salvation does not lie in their election. This is where the Calvinists go horribly wrong. The certainty of, because it is no certainty at all. The certainty of their salvation lies in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So the only way to answer the question, am I elect, is to answer the question, did Jesus die for me? And if the answer to that question is yes, then you are elect. And that's a question that has to be answered by the individual person. It's not, did Jesus die for everyone? Of course he died for everyone. But not everyone is elect. But someone says, am I elect? You say, did Jesus die for you? Yes. Answer, question answered. There you go. Which a Calvinist can't do. They can't say Jesus died for me, for sure. Because in their theology, Jesus only died for some. So can someone fall away from the faith? Absolutely. Does that mean that we now are at liberty to make a statement about their election? No. Because Scripture doesn't make any statement this way. Scripture only teaches election as assurance and never as, oh, look at that guy, he was elect and then he fell away, which means he wasn't elect. Never does that, ever. So the question is, that really matters here is, can you fall from faith? Can someone fall from faith? And the answer to that question is, on the basis of Scripture, absolutely. It can happen. How do you know that? The answer is because we're constantly warned, especially in the New Testament, against falling away. Now, why would Scripture, Jesus, the apostles, to a person, warn us of falling away if it can't happen? So that's the way I always answer that question. Where does Scripture teach that one can fall away? First of all, examples are given of people who have fallen away. And we're constantly warned against falling away. So I think Scripture is pretty clear that you can fall from grace. How does that relate to election? We don't know. Well, we have to know. No, we don't. Scripture doesn't answer the question. And this is where the good Lutheran principle that we talked about a little earlier with Pastor Tim Pauls at the very beginning of our conversation with him comes into play. If Scripture doesn't answer a question, you can't either. If Scripture doesn't say, well, this is how election relates to those who fall away, you cannot spin a scenario to explain how election relates to those who fall away. And when you do, you will inevitably end up on the wrong side of Scripture, as does the double predestination doctrine. So we tread lightly on the issue of election, not because we're afraid to answer the questions, but because Scripture doesn't answer them. Scripture presents a very one-sided view of election, only for the comfort of Christians. A Christian who has their assurance in Jesus Christ, it says, and by the way, this assurance is yours from the foundation of the world. And it says nothing of those who either don't believe with respect to election or those who may believe and fall away with respect to election. So we just got to, that's all the farther we can go with it.
Great resource, the late Dr. George Wollenberg. It's spelled Wollenburg. Just one page article, yeah. Falling Away from Faith. Just Google Falling Away from Faith, Wollenburg, Wollenburg.
U-R-G.
Chocked full of Bible passages. I mean, I'm just looking at the first couple paragraphs. Matthew 12:43-45, Hebrews 6:4-8, Matthew 13:20-22, Romans 8:13, Galatians 5:19-21, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, on and on and on. Falling Away from Faith by George Wollenberg. Great, great resource.
Yep. What's next to there?
Next. This is Andrew. He says, I love listening to your show as a student at a secular university. It's such a blessing to have you guys. I have had a lingering question that has intrigued me for a while. What is the Lutheran stance on angels, demons, ghosts, etc.? Do angels really manifest in ways that humans can see? Do the spirits of the dead really haunt the living? Also, on a related note, what do we believe hell is? Are there varying levels for the worst of the worst? How do we interpret the Bible on this issue, writes Andrew?
Well, it's a great series of questions. First of all, we affirm that I don't want to use the word dimension because that can be misunderstood in some sort of astrophysical way. There's an aspect of creation that we are not privy to via our senses ordinarily, the unseen world. And we confess this in the Creed when we say that God has created, we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and we talk about him creating things that are seen That's the world around us that we can perceive with our senses, and unseen that our senses do not have access to. And that's, we call it a spiritual realm. I would prefer to refer to it as a unseen part of creation, is that part occupied by the unseen beings, which we'll talk about on the other side of the break. Sometimes in Scripture, people see them. We'll be right back.
And make believe it came from you.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast, or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Higher Things assists in cultivating, encouraging, and promoting a distinctively Lutheran identity among their youth and young adults. To fulfill this mission, this summer, Higher Things has 3 conferences. You can find out more about these conferences at fromabove2013.org. The winter issue of Higher Things magazine is now available. This is a topical issue on church and state that you can read in its entirety on our website, higherthings.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri. And Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Going through listener email on this Monday afternoon, February the 4th. We had an email before the break about what is it that Lutherans believe about angels and demons and spirits. And we start with understanding where Scripture places these beings. And they are created beings. We are told very little about them, except that they are creatures like we are. But in many ways, they are unlike we are. And what we gather is based upon, and we kind of place them in a category that may be more, I don't know, scientific or philosophical than theological. What we know about them is that they're ordinarily not seen, that we our senses, such as they are now, do not perceive them. That they are spirits, and that is as distinct from physical beings. That is, we're comprised of both spirit and body, and they are comprised of spirit with no body ordinarily, which means that questions like where is the angel is a nonsensical question. If you don't have a body, if you are an illocal being, as angels apparently are, and space means nothing to you, you can't ask or answer the question, where is the angel, unless, and this is how we know that they exist apart from kind of the general revelation that they're out there in Scripture, unless you see one. And then you can say the angel stood before Mary. And for that time, and for that time alone, you can ask and answer the question, where is the angel? The angel Gabriel, in his ordinary, we're given to believe, in his ordinary mode of existence, you can't find him on Google Maps. But when he appears to the Virgin Mary and makes himself accessible, or perhaps God makes him accessible to her senses, then he's standing before her, speaking so as he can be heard. But just as quickly as these creatures appear, they often disappear. Now, should this frighten us? Well, you know, the teaching of angels and demons is not intended to be the stuff of horror movies or of bad dreams. Ultimately, it's intended to show us that God is the creator of all things, seen and unseen, and that these good angels, God's servants, confirmed in their goodness, are there as God's servants to protect us, to fight for us, to guard us, to do all the things that Scripture says. We even pray, Luther has a famous prayer, this nighttime prayer, let your holy angel be with me that the wicked one may have no power over me. And that's a statement straight into the heart of the unseen realm, because you don't see the holy angel and you don't see the wicked one. But they're both there and they're both real. But it's quite clear that God's will is that these good angels protect us. The demons, they're up to no good. But they are creatures just like the good angels are. They do nothing apart from God's permission. Even the chief of demons, the devil himself, he's just a big angel. And our chief concern here is, someone asked me the other day, can the devil read your mind? And I had to think about that for a second, and I thought, you know, the Bible doesn't say that the devil can read your mind. So maybe the answer to that question is no. Does he know what you're thinking? Well, he's had a lot of experience with you and with people like you. And he's pretty smart, so I imagine that, yes, he does know, he has a pretty good educated guess as to what you're thinking. Ghosts, the other question, are the spirits of the dead. There is absolutely no scriptural basis for saying that the spirits of the dead have any way of communicating with us, the living. There's only one exception, and that exception is when the prophet Samuel is brought back after he has died, obviously by God's intention, through the machinations of the witch of Endor. And when he does appear, the witch is shocked because she's never seen him before. And Samuel is shocked. But that's the only time where what we would call today a ghost appears. And it is pronounced judgment, God's ultimate judgment on King Saul, for even calling him up and for his disobedience to God. So that's the exception that proves the rule.
Another great resource interview we did with Dr. Armin Behme, B-O-E-H-M-E, on angels and demons. You can list that, issuesetc.org, click listen on demand.
And that's another great way to remind our listeners that, look, here's where we can say only so much, and then we got to stop talking. So questions like, do angels have wings? Some of them do. Do they all have blonde hair? Don't know. Are they men or are they women? That's like asking, where are they? That question does not apply to their classification of being. So the Precious Moments angels, they're cute. They might serve their purpose to kind of make your living room or bedroom slightly more adorable, but they're a pretty poor representation of angels such as they really are.
Again, still waiting for the Precious Moments Angel of Death figurine.
Yeah, you don't see that one.
That'd be a bestseller. Hey, we got this email over the weekend from our good friend Pastor Rob Frank in Duluth, Minnesota. He said, just wanted to let you know that yesterday I was playing racquetball with one of my members here, and he was telling me how when he was in Morocco for 40 days over December, Lutheran Public Radio helped keep him sane. It really kept him in touch with the Advent and Christmas season while he served his country in a very foreign environment. So thanks. Thanks for the email, Pastor Frank.
That is fantastic to hear. And what he's highlighted there is one of the things that is absolutely great about Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World. It's our sacred music station. It's 24 hours. It's 365 days a year. And it's everywhere you go. If you have access to the internet, you have access to Lutheran Public Radio and the absolute very best sacred music, the church's music, throughout the centuries and throughout the church year. And talking about keeping him grounded in the church season, that's why we emphasize the church's music during the various seasons of the church year. Epiphany now, rapidly approaching Lent and Holy Week. At LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's absolutely free. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Let's go rapid fire through some email. This is Carrie. She says, I posted on my Facebook page just a little while ago about the death of my friend Jeremy. I want to let you guys know that he's the one I told you about in an email a few years ago. Listening to Issues Etc. during our drives made a huge difference in his view of religion. God used you to bring him back to the fold. Thank you. That comes from Carrie. This comes from Thomas. I was just listening to a repeat program on January 21st while discussing callers and letters about the one person stated about how grateful he was to be able to listen to your program on demand in lieu of a church due to the military. You stated that your show cannot be a surrogate. I understand what you're saying, but for some, that is as close as we can get with our jobs and hours. I would love to go to a church, but there is none that fit into my work schedule where I would be able to be attentive and awake. I listen to your show online. Your shows, along with others, help me a lot in finding my way back during a very hard time. For some, this is the closest way we can get the continual enlightenment of our Lord. This is Matt. I'm writing to share my excitement that we are getting a new member because of Issues, etc. I'm sure you get this kind of feedback all the time, but I'm here to remind you what a miracle it really is for everybody involved. Sal has never been Lutheran, but is a regular listener who was frustrated because the Lutheran churches that he visited were anything but. You know the story. Sal has requested adult instruction leading to membership. Now here's the tragic irony. As a regular Issues Etc. listener, he's already better catechized than most of our board of elders. Maybe you should establish some kind of counter for those you reach on your homepage, or maybe not. Just keep up the great work of letting the word speak for itself through your show. Finally, this is Mike in Edmond, Oklahoma. I've been a daily on-demand listener for nearly a year now. My commute to work is about 35 minutes each way, and I'm a little disappointed that it doesn't give me enough time to listen to all 10 hours of podcasts each week. I've especially enjoyed Pastor Whedon's series on our historic liturgy. I've always enjoyed our liturgy, but the 20 segments to date have given me a deeper appreciation for what we do every Sunday during the divine service and why we do it. I now look forward to each part of the service. I'm a cyclist and have ridden a couple of times between Oklahoma City and Tulsa along the old Route 66. When you drive the 90 or so miles on I-44 between the two cities, the trip seems so long and uninteresting. But after having ridden along the old highway, which parallels the interstate, and gotten to know the towns and points where the two intersect a little more intimately, the drive has more meaning to me. Pastor Whedon and Pastor Wilkins' discussions on each segment of our liturgy has given me an analogous appreciation. I know more about where we are in the service. I look forward to what we'll be doing in the next. And just as this appreciation for the drive to Tulsa has helped to keep me from dozing off, so has being more familiar with the divine service. Realizing that worship is like a W and not an M is particularly helpful. Keep up the great work. To God be the glory, writes Mike in Edmond, Oklahoma.
That's a great analogy that he has there. Let me tell you, I mean, I've hosted this program for a long time, years and years, and I've actually done many shows on the historic liturgy from all different aspects. It's a regular part of our topic, the topics that we deal with, okay? And I've even done a series on the historic liturgy with Pastor Will Whedon before many years ago, the same Will Whedon. But this one that we're doing with him that is probably coming to a close within a segment or two on the historic liturgy, now 21 parts going on to 22, it has also, and I've been a parish pastor for a long time, for 22, 23 years, it has given me a deeper appreciation of the liturgy like I've never had before. Every Sunday morning after doing this with Pastor Whedon, I have it's like seeing it again for the first time on Sunday morning, to actually go in there and be the liturgist or conduct the liturgy and be part of the liturgy after doing that series. I highly recommend it. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. And if you appreciate this kind of contribution that Issues Etc. makes to the lives of people, to congregations, to people who are without congregations, please consider partnering with us this year by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. This is our multi-level donor club. They're all different levels you can enter at: the Reformer, the Apologist, the Confessor, the Patron. And when you do, there are certain benefits that are attached to it. You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Donate. You'll find the Reformation Club and information there about it. And it's a way that at almost any level, someone can regularly support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. When we come back, We're going to spend the last half hour of Issues Etc. today talking about Jacob the Patriarch. He's also known as Israel. He's part of this big salvation story. It doesn't begin with Abraham, but Abraham is a major opening chapter of the story there in Genesis 12. We got this promise about Abraham being made a great nation, and then he has a son, just one. And then that son, Isaac, has two sons, just two. And then Jacob comes along, and he has 12. And the great nation is underway. We'll be right back and talk about him with Pastor Joel Heck after this.
For assistance, if this all confuses you, so tell me why.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shoplogia.org. Shop L-O-G-I-A.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shoplogia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shoplogia.org.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues Etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.